Now, we all have things in our lives to which we hold very dearly. Things that are very important to us, which we take seriously. And one of those things for me is tea. In particular, how a cup of tea is made. And I have been very distressed in the past when I've gone into a cafe where people should be professional, and I've asked for a cup of tea, and they've said, how do you take it? And I say, with milk. And then I've had to watch, powerless, as they take a tea bag and put it in a mug, and pour in some hot water, and then immediately add the milk. I mean, immediately. No pause, no waiting, but straight away. And anybody who knows anything about tea knows that this immediately kills the tea bag, because the tea hasn't got that hot water to brew in. It isn't able to steep and create all those lovely flavours, and I end up being handed a sort of milky, off-whitish coloured thing with a sad tea bag sitting in the bottom that can no longer make a proper cup of tea. And I am appalled at this, because tea is something I hold very, very dearly. I don't know what you hold dearly, but the Jews held Sabbath dearly. Sabbath was really, really important to the Jewish people. It was one of the commandments they'd been given, God's directive to them back in Exodus, back in their history, to have the Sabbath and to keep it holy. God said this, he said, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing and the harvest, you must rest. Even during their busiest time when there's so much to do, there was the directive to rest. And the Jews were really keen to follow the instructions of God. And the Pharisees were particularly keen, because they were a group of religious teachers, and it was their job to make sure that people were able to follow these rules and to live rightly. And in the book of Jewish teaching called the Mishnah, they had a whole list of things which were specifically forbidden to do on the Sabbath. They had 39 things, to be exact. So some of these included sowing and reaping and weaving. You can see lots of the agricultural themes coming out there. Other things were things like tying or untying, writing or erasing, or building or demolishing. So lots and lots of things that were banned. And the Pharisees were keen to get it right. I mean, absolutely right. So they thought of all the ways people might accidentally break these rules and created another layer of rules to make sure that people couldn't even get close to breaking them. So, for example, they taught that you should not look in the mirror on the Sabbath in case you see a grey hair and are tempted to pluck it out, because that would be reaping, my friends. That would be reaping. Be warned. And they also taught that you aren't allowed to wear any jewellery on the Sabbath. And not because you'd be like adorning yourself and drawing attention to yourself. No, because it would count as carrying a burden, and that's also wrong on the Sabbath. And then lastly, and I have to say this is my favourite, and kids, you might want to listen up to this. This is a really interesting rule. It is okay to spit on a rock on the Sabbath, but not on the ground. And the reason for this is because if you spit on the ground, there might be dust. And your spit might mix with dust to make mud. And mud could be used as mortar, which could be used to build, and therefore technically you could be doing work. So remember that. No spitting on the floor on the Sabbath. The rest of the time it's absolutely fine. It's not fine. Just so you know. So amazingly, they were so determined to get everything right for God that if you ask me, they had turned God's blessing, God's gift of a day of rest into something that was really rather hard work. I don't know about you, but I'd certainly feel extremely stressful if I had to spend an entire day worried about how I might accidentally be breaking one of these rules. I'd find it fairly stressful. But keeping the Sabbath was very important to the Jews. You know, it really mattered to them. And so when Jesus came along with his like ragtag bunch of disciples who are wandering through a cornfield, plucking corn and happily dehusking it and munching on it for a snack, well, I'm sorry, if pulling out a grey hair is reaping, this is definitely work. And the Pharisees were horrified. They were horrified at this behaviour. And Jesus wasn't doing anything about it, so they challenged him. But interestingly, they didn't find an apologetic Jesus. They didn't have Jesus go, oh, I'm terribly sorry. No, you're completely right. I must stop this and address this behavior. No, Jesus challenged them right back. And he challenged them with a story from their history, from their past, and he talked with authority. And he used that story to show them and teach them something about the nature of rules. And he made it clear to the Pharisees that actually it wasn't the disciples that was getting it wrong. It was them. It was the Pharisees. And he challenged them in that cornfield. And he went on again to challenge them later at the synagogue, in their place of prayer and worship. But what he was challenging wasn't the Sabbath. It wasn't God's commanded day that was really the problem. The problem was the Pharisees' attitude towards it and what they turned it into. This wonderful gift from God, this great blessing of a day that was supposed to be about refreshment, about reconnecting people with their creator, their source, their sustainer and their strength. The blessing had been turned into a burden. You know, it was supposed to be for people's good, for the betterment of their lives, but it had been turned into yet another thing to worry about, yet another thing which would bind them. Now, notice how in both of the stories that we had, in the cornfield and in the synagogue, there were people in need. There were people in need. And had the rules of the Sabbath been kept to the letter of the law, those needs would have gone unmet. If they'd kept those rules, the disciples would have had to go hungry. And that man who came to the synagogue and stood face to face with one man who could heal him, would have had to have gone away, still just as he came, in pain with his deformed hand. None of those needs would have been met. And Jesus got angry. I quite like it when Jesus gets a bit angry. He got angry with the Pharisees because they just didn't get it. And they were so consumed by their desire to get everything just exactly right that they'd completely forgotten the purpose and the reason for those rules in the first place. You know, they'd forgotten that the Sabbath was supposed to be a blessing, a gift, a pause in a hectic life, the rest modeled by God in the creation story in Genesis. As it said, you know, he created everything, but then he took time to stop and just enjoy it. You know, the principle he demonstrated that it's good sometimes to stop, to be and not to do for a while. It's something we need. And this is absolutely key. Sabbath was something created to serve the needs of human beings, not prevent their needs from being met. Sabbath was created to serve the needs of human beings. The principle of Sabbath is good. It's commanded by God as a blessing, but the heart behind it is that it is for people's good. And so if needs are not being met because of the Sabbath, then you're doing the Sabbath wrong. That's not the way we should be doing it. The blessing has then become a burden. Jesus said, what is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or do evil? To save life or to kill? Now, I have no doubt that Jesus took the Sabbath seriously. I think it was important to him too. And there are plenty of times when we find Jesus kind of napping in boats. I don't know if you know those stories. He's asleep in a boat. Or stories where he gets up really early in the morning and kind of escapes to a quiet place to just pray and be with his Father God. Or times when he's repeating, when there's hustle and bustle and busyness, and he kind of retreats with his friends and goes to a different place to just get out of the way. So he took the Sabbath seriously. He needed that rest too. But Jesus brought it back to the heart. You know, it was about to be something for people's good. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It's about what's good for us. Not a rule to be obeyed regardless of the consequences. But this means that the Sabbath can be messy and the Sabbath can be difficult. Because actually it means that on the Sabbath it's down to us to decide when we need to rest and when it's right to act. And that can be made harder still because some things are not under our control. I remember as a parent, particularly with young children, going, when's my Sabbath? When's my rest? Because as anybody who's played the role of carer to anybody else knows, there are some times that you can't stop. You can't just stop when a baby's nappy needs changing or a child needs their breakfast. No, you can't just take a break if you've got a worried teenager who needs to talk and they need to talk right now. You can't take a break if you've got an elderly or infirm parent or grandparent who needs help washing or taking to the toilet. There are some things that are beyond our control. And yet, we cannot just go on without a break. We need the opportunity to relax. Our mental and our physical and our spiritual health are at risk if we don't find a way to receive the blessing of Sabbath that God has for us. And that might mean getting a bit creative. It might mean asking for help or finding somebody who can lift that burden off our shoulders, those responsibilities that we hold for a short while. I mentioned a few weeks ago when I was here that that I was rather busy with the moving house and moving in and my children being at home because there were no school places. And I find it quite hard to find that time out and that rest. But yesterday, I snuck out. My husband was at home, so I snuck out for about an hour and a half. And I had something which I like to call my cuppa with Jesus. And what I do is I go to a cafe just by myself. But I'm not really by myself, am I? Because Jesus is with me by his Spirit. And sometimes I even imagine him sitting with me. And I muse, and I ponder, and I pray, and I shut out all the other things that I could be doing or worrying about. And I just spend some time. And that's what I do. That's how I Sabbath quite often. We all have to find our own way of receiving that Sabbath rest and that blessing. Not with strict rules. Not with feelings of guilt if we can't take a whole day as is traditional or as other people do. Because it's not really about how you do it, but that you do it somehow. And not because God wants to give you yet another thing to do or to worry about. But because what God wants to give you a gift. He wants to give you a blessing because he knows that what's best for you is rest and reconnection with him. And in case you are wondering, when I had my cuppa with Jesus, the cafe, they did make the tea properly. And sometimes that makes all the difference. Amen.